Welcome, everybody, to this call about high-end outcome-based marketing. And this one is going to be focused on case studies. In the previous teleclass, we talked a lot about how high-end outcome-based programs work and how they're structured and all of the inside details about them. Today, we're going to actually talk to people that are working on developing, selling, marketing and selling high-end outcome-based programs. By the way, HEOB for short. And these are some people in my current mastery program and one person from a past program that's done very well doing this. So before I get into interviewing all my guests and hearing what's working for them and what they've learned and giving you some insight into what it would be for you to create an HEOB program, I'm going to give you kind of the overview. Not everyone was necessarily on the first call, so I'm going to give you a quick overview and sort of the tip of the iceberg principles that you need to have in place. So there's really three parts to any HEOB program. The first is simply creating the program. The second is marketing the program. And three is selling the program. So let's talk first about creating programs. Here's the best analogy. Right now, most independent professionals are selling Volkswagens, and that's the low end. But you could be selling Mercedes-Benz, and that's the high end. But what you need to learn is how to sell Mercedes-Benz, because Mercedes-Benz take a different kind of marketing, a different angle. They take a different kind of potential client. They take a different selling process. And the basics of marketing are still the same, but when people try to sell high-end programs or the Mercedes-Benz, they bump into a lot more complexity and barriers and difficulty and realize it's not as easy as they thought. A high-end program it's more comprehensive than a low-end program. It's more involved. It's more valuable. It's more time-consuming, and it needs more expertise to deliver. Now, high-end programs can be all kinds of things. They can be just a one-on-one coaching program that's sold at the high end. So instead of earning $500 a month, maybe you're earning a couple thousand dollars a month. It can be group programs that include teleconferences and one-on-one coaching and consulting. Some people call those hybrid programs. It can be a program that consists of a few workshops, maybe three or four workshops over a year or two, and with coaching in between. It can also include training programs that are delivered within companies. It can include consulting programs that are delivered within companies. And it can also include various services, such as web design and writing and graphic design, that kind of thing. And the thing that differentiates all of these is that they are sold in the high end. They're more comprehensive. They're more results-oriented, hence the name high-end outcome-based programs. They're really designed to produce an outcome, not just go through the motions. And there's usually a guarantee tied in with it. We will help you get XYZ result over such and such a period of time. So the great advantage, obviously, of high-end programs is you can have fewer clients and be making a lot more money, and once you get it rolling, not be working quite as hard, but be making very good money for the clients that you have. So everybody would love to have lots of high-end clients, and that's possible, and you start with creating it and creating the structure for these and making the intangible tangible. So that's the first step. Then marketing high-end programs, the big difference is that the marketing is designed and executed as an organized step-by-step campaign, not as a series of random marketing activities. And if you look at most people's marketing especially for independent professionals, that's what we do, random activities. We do a little networking here and well, we post a blog and do a teleclass once in a while, and we do things to get visibility. Now, some of the same activities marketing activities are used in marketing high-end programs, but it's much more of a system, a step-by-step system that's leading potential clients towards your service and then ultimately getting people to opt in and say, yes, I'm interested, I'd like to know more, maybe this can help me, where do we go next? And so with that kind of thing, if you do it in a step-by-step way, in a very organized way, you will end up signing up more clients faster, more and so that's the objective of it. The real difference, again, it's organized, it's campaign-driven, it's step-by-step, one thing leads to the other. And really the aim of all the marketing is to set up meetings with prospects who are sincerely looking at getting the assistance that you offer, getting the value that you offer in your program. So you might say the ultimate purpose of marketing is really to get meetings with good qualified people that are ready to explore your high-end program. And when all of that is in place, then you are putting a lot of effort into getting those right meetings with the right people and converting them. And then you go into that selling process, and it's very similar to selling low-end services. The difference, again, it's a more organized process. It's a more structured process. It entails a meeting under what I call favorable conditions, and exploring the prospect's goals, their challenges, and whether or not the service you offer is a fit or not. And, you know, everyone thinks they're great at selling if they're meeting with a very highly qualified prospect. But the truth is, if somebody calls you and they found about you through someone and they were referred, then the selling process is not hard at all. The thing is how do you rope in the right people that want to engage in that selling conversation and converting a large percentage of those people? That is a lot trickier. So those are the three main factors, but there's one other factor which you could call the X factor. The big X factor in marketing and selling high-end services is mindset. And if you have a low-end mindset, you cannot sell high-end services. You simply can't. It's impossible. You will not let yourself. You will not let yourself ask for that much money. You will not let yourself do the things that you have to do to sell high-end services. So working on your marketing mindset is not an optional thing, but perhaps it's the most important thing of all. So in our program, we work a lot of mindset. We come back to mindset a lot. We process people through their current mindset and if they're stuck. And if you can change your mindset, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier for you to take on a project of selling high-end outcome-based services. And we're going to talk to some of the people today that did change their mindset pretty dramatically that resulted in huge results in a very short period of time. So that gives you kind of an overview. So let me introduce my guests. We have Samantha Hartley, Denise Clancy, Jeff Pallister, Jamie Broughton, Kelly Parkinson, and joining us a little bit later will be George Wong. So, Samantha, I want to start with you, and I kind of have a general question for everyone, but I'll kind of be interviewing you as we go. But the big question is what have you learned about high-end marketing, and what kind of results have you produced so far using the principles that I teach?
Well, that's a very broad, sweeping question, so...
Yes.
Where to start?
Yeah.
I think I only have a few minutes and not 3 hours. So, I mean, I really agree with you about mindset. I think, the really interesting thing that comes up for me is kind of the idea of slow playing things. You know, I think we want to rush people when we're going into some of these engagements. And what I notice, I haven't, when I look at the engagements I did that I got and were really successful, and it seems like that just flowed and it was so easy, I really made them come to me and earn my business rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot like the way people tell you to negotiate with when you're buying a car, where you have to be willing to walk away from it. And every single one of the engagements I was willing to walk away from. And some of them I really wanted more than others, or I lost track of that, not just the positivity mindset, but when I felt a little more kind of clingy and like I need this or I really want this, those didn't go as well for me. So the winners that I chose to talk to you about today, they really exemplify that feeling of, hey, I know I can help you, and if you want to be helped by me, then you guys got to show up and say so. And that business, I mean, I closed fast, hard, and easy.
Say that again. You closed what?
That business fast, hard, well, I'd say fast, resolutely, and easily. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where they came to me demanding, please, please, we insist that you help us for all this bunch of money.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I do with clients in the Mastery Program is I ask people to apply. I mean,
yeah.
We do these teleclasses and introductory emails and let people know about it and then give them all the information. And then about a third of them or more that apply, I actually turn down.
Yeah.
Because I can tell from their application they're actually not really qualified or committed enough to really do what needs doing.
Yeah.
And then I have conversations with the rest, and, you know, a selling is a bad word, isn't it, Samantha? I mean, it has connotations of pressure and manipulation.
Well, and the way that I define the difference between marketing and selling is marketing is what I do and what I do for my clients, and selling is what I could do for you. So when I'm marketing, I'm in a written form, I'm very careful about using the word you. And so when I'm having a marketing conversation with someone, and if you want to talk about marketing ball, it's the stages between home and second base. Until somebody says to me, I think I need that, like, could you do that for me? That's the first time I'm going to start using the word you. And all the rest of the time, I'll say things like, well, one way that I help my clients, and, you know, I had one client who, and, well, things that I do for small business owners. So I talk in general terms, and I really teach people to keep your energy out of the forward-moving you energy. And when you finally get that sit-down meeting or when you finally get somebody who says, I need that, can you help me? What would you do for me? Then I start saying, well, what I would do for you is. And, you know, that's really, I think, hard for people. Again, when you need business or, you know, you just, I mean, I bluff sometimes too. I'll be in a networking situation and somebody will say, oh, I do so-and-so. And I'll say, oh, I could, I work with people like you all the, crap. Well, I try not to say that word because it makes people feel aggressed.
Yeah, it's coming on too quickly. So,
yeah
it's interesting because there's a whole forward movement of marketing, and yet there is it shouldn't feel hypey or full of pressure. And you know, this is one reason. You know, I like to do these introductory teleclasses. Ultimately, some of the people that are on this or listen to this will end up in my program. But I'm also happy that a lot of people can learn this stuff anyway. So I give away a lot of stuff. I'm very generous. And then it's sort of the cream rises to the top. The people that they feel they need the next step, coaching, support, and really making it happen, they're the ones that say, yeah, I'd like to have that conversation. But I never, it's true, you don't want to put it in their face too fast.
No, and I think it's really important for the client to decide that it's for them. So, I mean, I totally agree with you about having a mindset, a high-end mindset. And what was funny was I left the Coca-Cola company, and my very first job was a $70,000 engagement for the summer. And I never didn't have a high-end mindset. I probably was born with it. So these programs are very natural for me, and they're also very exciting. And it's harder for me to get excited about lower-end programs unless I'm helping a lot of people, not because I'm not excited to, you know, that I need to make a lot of money or I'm all money-oriented. I'm very contribution-oriented, but I think it's really fun when you begin to play for high stakes, right? And the piece of that to me where this comes up is I need to know that the client wants it potentially more than I do because the kind of work that I do, and I do brand and marketing planning work, and that is... I call it, it's a hard slog. You know, we're going to have to go through probably 3 months and sometimes, you know, a year, but we're going to have to go through a long, hard slog. And if the client isn't committed to it, then they're not going to make it through the process. They're not going to implement, and all my work is going to be for naught. And they're not going to get the results that they wanted to see. So I really make people prove to me that they're motivated enough for it. And the first story that I wanted to share with you is actually about that.
Okay.
So I had a client who... the kind of interesting story, there was an article about me in the paper. I was selected one of 20 to watch in the upcoming year. It was a little feature section in the paper. And the client who is a marketing person at a community bank read that article. And You know, what's funny is I'm in a late adopter market, so rather than going to Google and Googling my name and my business name, she looked in for the yellow pages and tried to find me there, and of course I'm not in there. And then she looked for, she finally tried to call me through the chamber. She called the chamber where I'm a member and got my number and called me at home. Well, what was funny was nobody ever calls me at home, so I just ignored it. And they said calling from a bank. I thought, some solicitors. So I didn't even call them back. After almost a month of trying to track me down, I finally got in touch with them. So they really wanted to get in touch with me. I had all of those important meetings where you get the key information that you need, and I really want to point out the information I got from them. Having met with all of the decision makers at the client, including the bank president, the several officers they brought in, they didn't have a marketing person. Nothing was working for them. They were doing marketing, and nothing was working for them. Their marketing budget was about $68,000 a year, and I knew that their and I found out what their total revenues were. So I really had very key information. One of the things that I do that a lot of people don't advise is sometimes on certain projects, I won't present in my proposal a variety of options, like choices of options. Alan
Right.
Weiss recommends that you do 3 to 5. And to me, a lot of times I can't stand behind other options. There really, to me, is there's a right way to do this and there's the other ways to do this. And I'm not interested in doing your project if you don't want to do it the right way. So what I laid out for them was one option.
So you're rather uncompromising. It's like, I really feel this is what would get you the results.
Exactly.
And here
and
it is.
If you want to do it right, then here's how to do it. And if you want to do it another way, that's cool, but you need to do that with somebody else. Now, I don't always do that, but this is the way that I really felt about this one project.
Right.
It's very difficult to differentiate brands. They're a huge commodity business. Their marketing is horrible by and large, and it's going to be hard to find differentiators. So I told them that. I said, I'm going to empower your team to do your own marketing. You're going to totally turn your business around, and I'm going to coach you for a year after this to ensure that you get results. What persuaded them was that I bid $60,000. I said, let's look at this. You're currently flushing $68,000 a year down the drain. How about instead of that, you pay me $60,000. I'm going to work with you for, intensely for 3 months and then with some of your key people over the course of a year, and we're going to get you results. I said, I'm not working for a fee. I work for a testimonial. And so I'm doing coaching. I'm requiring.
Hope everyone heard that. I'm not working for a fee. I'm working for a testimonial.
Because I'll get your money once, and hey, I'll be happy about that. But if I don't get a testimonial from you, then the time that I spent working on your project is wasted, right?
Great.
It's not, it doesn't get as much for me as it could. And the coaching that I do, it ensures that you succeed and that I'll get a testimonial. So I'm charging you more money so that to protect your investment and also to protect mine. Boy, they were over the moon about that. And I'll tell you, the last thing that was a deciding factor, when people feel like they want to chicken out and not charge as much as they deserve, I had one competitive bidder on this project who was a graphic designer in his early 20s, and he bid $15,000, which for him was the largest amount of money he'd ever bid for anything in his whole entire life.
Right.
Now, $60,000 wasn't the biggest project I've ever done. I've had much bigger projects.
Yeah, for the designer, that was like a project. For you, it was like a solution that you were selling.
Absolutely.
And that really is another way of talking about high-end outcome-based, solution-based, results-based, complete turnkey thing that you offer-based.
Absolutely. And the banker said to me, the president of the bank said to me, when you put down that number, I mean, we all kind of were taken aback. I'll be honest with you. We were shocked. But when we sat with it, we realized, we have a choice. We can either get a Band-Aid or we can really do a total transformation. And from then I was in.
Great.
So I want to point out one thing that's different is I recently bid a project that was also a high-end bid that I did. And I also did a take it or leave it. A very high figure, and it was a company that does. It's an IT company, and they do. They have a business where they bill hourly.
Mm-hmm.
They never bought into the concept of value-based pricing, and I did not get that project. And they began to negotiate with me and ask me for justifications and all of this stuff like that. And I went, okay, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Because I could see that one of the requirements for selling in value-based pricing is that your client buys into the concept of value-based pricing. They need to accept, I'm not paying for a plan, which is a commodity. I'm not paying for somebody to figure out my brand, which is a commodity. They can go to other people to do that.
Right, and you're not selling hourly fees. They say, well, what's your hourly fee? Because we want to compare it to someone else.
Or
and then that's a commodity right away.
I was like, I'm not doing training, you know, so if you want something like that. And they did, and, you know, and that was fine, and, you know, that's fine for me. I was happy to walk away from that. And I just want to tell you one other quick story about how I've worked with partners to sell this in. So this is, I had another guy who at first didn't buy into value-based pricing, and I pitched them a project. I started with one guy. He referred me to this guy. I started with them with a little project, and I pitched them a variety of options, and they chose the smallest option, which almost nobody ever does, which kind of told me something about them.
Yeah.
And so I worked with them on their project, and it went pretty well. And he mentioned, hey, I think I know some other people who need work. And I went to him, and I said, cool, let me tell you how we're going to do this. I'm going to show you what I do, and then you'll sell this in to them because you're the contact. That was going to go pretty well, and then I put together my proposal and showed it to him, and it was $30,000. And he said, oh, well, can you get it down? What can you do to do this, and can you take this out, and do you have to do that? He basically wanted to kind of move it down to, like, the least amount of money possible.
You can tell where his mindset was, right?
It was totally there. So,
yeah.
And that was very frustrating to me. But so what's kind of interesting here is that I said, are you crazy? I mean, why aren't you talking about this? Why aren't you talking about that? And I finally got him to the point that he said, do you think I'm leaving money on the table? And I practically used the word moron. I didn't really, but I was like, moron? The point of this $30,000 proposal is for you to do a 100% markup on it. Don't you get it? If you want to wheedle me down to $5,000, what's the point of that? Well, the light bulb went on for him when I said that. I was
right.
Like, I just want me to get paid $30,000. That's what this project is worth to me. I think this project is worth $100,000 to the client. Well, okay, total transformation. He pitched mine to them at $60,000. He had a buddy who was doing executive coaching for them who did that for $10,000. He pitched that for $20,000, and it sold in like in 1 second.
In 1 second.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were like, we're so... Well, because he had a buddy and, you know, the whole nine yards. But anyway, what I helped him to do in that moment is the same thing that you're talking about doing with your group, which is reframe this for yourself so you look at the total value to the company rather than, well, I need to clear this and I need to clear that.
Right. Wow. That's a lot of stuff, Samantha. Thank you very much. Really
Thanks
good.
Thanks for having me.
Really
I'm
good things.
Because I want people to be able to... You know, what we do when we pitch high-value programs is we allow ourselves to bring the best of ourselves to the game. Listen, when I'm making $60,000 on a three-month project, I am excited to give you everything I've got.
Yeah. Yeah, you can put the time in and the effort in and really produce the results. And instead of worrying, looking at your clock all the time and, yeah. And it's a thing I've said for years is that often we do not sell, because we sell at a lower price, it reduces the chance that we can actually produce the result that we were hired for.
Yeah,
and
I'm not
so
sure,
just
yeah.
So because we're just looking at money, so it's sort of like, well, can you transform my company for $1,000? Probably not. And they're just looking at price and forgetting what it really takes. Okay, we've got to move on to someone else and get their take on it. Thank you very much, Samantha.
Thank you, Robert.
So next, I want to talk to Denise Clancy. Denise Clancy is in our program and just sold her first high-end program recently after putting together a brand new program. Denise, can you tell us a little bit, you know, what you've learned in this process and you know, what are your next steps moving forward with this?
Sure. So my offering is that I work with small and mid-sized businesses to help them select an outsourced teleservices or telemarketing provider. And that's my high-end opportunity. That's my high-end business. And this, the program that I'm going through with Robert and with a team of people has helped me. Well, first of all, I have to say, let me back up. To get into the program, I actually looked and I said, I had a different experience than Samantha because I came from a situation where I didn't believe that what I was offering the marketplace was valued, so I priced it like that. And I said, I really want to get in this program with Robert. I had some experiences with Robert and that were positive ones. I wanted to get into this, and I said, okay, how do I create a high-end enough program that I will be qualified to get in, that I'll meet the mark to get into the program. And I actually sat and thought about all the things that I do. I started by saying, what do I really like to do out of all the offerings that I have? What do I really like to do? And then, is there a high-end package in this service, in this group of offerings that I do? And I did come up with something. So the whole process of thinking through, how do I join, how do I apply, actually worked to my advantage, because I was able to say, you know, what do I like to do? What's the most fun out of all the things I do? And is there something that I can do by packaging the stuff I like to do and allowing me to move into a whole nother level in terms of service, you know, contribution service, and then by extension, value back to me as well, financial value back to me. And so I was able to come up with something, and I always like to say it has legs. I was able to package something. Halfway through the process, halfway through the year, as we were actually literally, I was still creating my program. I was still creating my marketing material. Sure enough, didn't something through a referral from somebody I used to work with. Someone called and said, I'm interested in talking to you. Turned out that ultimately they were interested in outsourcing their telesales. And I was able to use all of the pieces that I had developed up to that point to present my high-end program, and without blinking, they said yes. And so for 2 seconds, I thought maybe I'd undervalued it, you know, for a moment. But they were like, fine, you know, just send us a proposal. And they signed the proposal and sent it back the next day. So what have I learned? I'm still in the process of learning. I don't have as much experience in this process as Samantha does, but I'm still in the process of learning. But here's what comes to mind. One is that marketing is not random. I've been doing a number of these different pieces for other programs, but I haven't put them together in an organized fashion that says that you move your prospect from point A to point B, or from home to first base to second base. I didn't have a process around that. I had more of a series of random events. So that's the first thing that I brought to bear here, even in the other pieces of my business that I'm still doing. And the second thing that I learned, particular to this particular opportunity, is you absolutely have to be prepared even when random opportunities come your way. So there's no randomness about this. You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared with the questions that you need to ask in order to understand whether or not your service is right for them. You have to be prepared to move them from an introductory conversation to a marketing conversation to a sales conversation and the close. You have to have your materials prepared so that, even though I had done a couple of these randomly and had not packaged it as a service offering, I didn't have materials prepared prior to going into this program. You have to be prepared even when you are faced with random opportunities. And then ultimately, you're prepared to launch a program and leverage what you have. So that's the two things. One is it's not random. It's a series of events, and one goes before the next. And the other is preparation moves you along the continuum a lot faster than if you're just winging it.
That's great. And also, maybe another thing that's rather obvious in a way, but we might miss it: if we don't have that program, we can't sell it.
Right.
And, we're sort of hoping we'll get a high-end client, but we don't have a Mercedes in our showroom to sell. We just have nothing but Volkswagens. And so they're not going to go into the showroom and say, well, show me your Mercedes. They're going to choose from the Volkswagen.
Right.
But you've got to do the work to create that Mercedes, which you did. And now you'll be working to get more people into that showroom and converting more people into clients for that service.
Right. And that's a really good point, Robert, because, the minute I started saying, I do have a program, I got into the Marketing Mastery Group, so, now I have a program that I can put my head around, that I can talk about, I started talking about it. Where before I'd done bits and pieces of the program, hadn't packaged it together as a program, but had done bits and pieces, and I didn't talk about it as a program. I didn't talk about it as an offering. So you're exactly right. When you get your head around it and when you start putting it down on paper or, you know, somehow systematizing it and identifying the components of it and identifying the value, you do start to eat, sleep, and breathe it and start projecting it out into the marketplace.
Yeah. And it's if you really think of it, that's pretty simple, but... you know, if you're not making the money you want, this is the piece that's missing for you. Well, there's a lot of pieces, but that's the very first piece. So thank you, Denise. That was a great overview of how you've worked this. And I have real confidence that this will really take off for you. And you'll be having a lot of those programs sold in 2010.
Yes, I intend to.
Yeah. Okay, let's next talk to Jamie Broughton. Are you there, Jamie?
I'm here.
Now, Jamie,
I've got a little bit of a croaky voice, so forgive me if I sound like the frog that hasn't been kissed by the prince or whatever had to happen. So I'm a little croaky today.
Yeah, I met with Jamie yesterday, and he was hacking away. But thanks for being on the call. So
my pleasure.
Now, Jamie has a program, really powerful program. That he offers to bigger companies, and it really transforms the way managers and leaders manage and produce results through other people. And he has, with a partner, he just sold a very big client, and then he sold a smaller one himself just recently. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what you're learning in this whole process, Jamie.
It's interesting listening to the other participants and what they've learned, and I could sort of be checking off the box, that Samantha was saying, oh yes, I'm learning that, and oh darn, she chose mine, and, I was going to say that, and this, everyone's stealing my answers, of course, right? But, one of the things that, that I've gone around this program, and we've had a lot of success in launching this particular program, and one of the pieces that I got very early on in the program, it was one of those little things that you said, Robert, and it ends up being a big exercise, but I kind of said yeah, whatever at the time. Robert made a comment around, when you write your sales letter for the program, you're actually going to design and create the whole program. And that's actually where the real work is actually creating the sales letter. I was like, yeah, Robert, that's nice and everything. I'll sit down and I'll write out the sales letter and, then I'll get on with the real part of the program.
Little did you know, right?
It's
an amazing process.
Right? Yeah. Little did I know. And especially in marketing a high impact or high end outcome based program, you're charging a higher fee, and you're also putting your brand, putting your promise behind a much more substantial result. Samantha talked earlier. You play your heart out when you got $60,000 in the game, right?
Yeah.
And so in doing that, there's a level of intentionality and a level of clarity that I've never had in any of the products or services that I've offered in the past. I've never been remotely clear as far as the value that's offered as in the program that we created in this particular, in the Mastery program. And, all of that, all the credit to that goes into the process of writing the sales letter and how you've structured the program. And, I'm so excited about, people read, the copy for the program. They go, oh my God, I just, that sounds fantastic. Where do I sign up? And it's really becoming all of that work we've done in the front, all that heavy lifting I did in the front, where I was scratching my head and trying to figure it out and do all that work around what are all the bloody benefits of this program and do I have enough benefits already, Robert? No, there's more. Come on. All of that work that I did, is now, it's just this completely, I wouldn't say like never ending. It's not never ending, but it's just this beautifully written put together package where somebody looks at it. If you are either a manager or someone who's responsible for managers in a mid to large size organization, you're going to go, holy cow, that's for me. And so that's one of the big things I got around this program, is really getting clear about what are the outcomes for them, not for me, for the participants and for the people writing the paycheck. It's one of the big things that I got out of this. And boy, that's making a difference in our marketing now. You know, Robert mentioned we signed a large deal, and one of the national banks, I'm in Toronto, and one of the national banks here in Canada just signed a deal, and they want to put 12,000 managers through this program. So
12,000 managers.
12,000 people.
Wow. So that's about 900 to 1,000 workshops.
Yeah.
That's going to keep you busy for a while.
So we're not going to be delivering the whole thing. I'd go crazy delivering that. But and there's a lot of other pieces to it. But the point to make, is that it can really command a lot of attention when you have some copy and you have a program that really delivers results that people are looking for.
You know, something that I say, Jamie, and you've really validated it, is when you've written that sales letter, you know, whatever you call it, sales, it's a sales letter, it's a program outline, it's a description of the program, whatever you want to call it. There's kind of two purposes for it. One is to convince the people reading it that they should find out more. You know, it gets them interested and leads them to that selling conversation. The second thing is it sells you on your program. Until you've gone through that process of describing, here's how it works and here are the benefits and here are the outcomes, until you've really gone through the process of that, you haven't quite gotten how powerful what it is you're offering. And I found this so many times, is that I'm thinking of creating a program and I have a basic idea. I write this, spend several hours writing the sales letter, and it becomes real to me. And it makes all the difference in the world. And as you say, then, as you connect with people, you find yourself saying things that were in the sales letter. Have you found that?
Absolutely. You know, there's one particular line that one of the benefits is you will no longer sit through endless debates or energy-sucking meetings again. And every time I say that to people, their eyes completely light up and go, oh, my gosh, you know, I've had enough of that to last a lifetime. Where do I sign? So, yeah, definitely some things are definitely coming out of my mouth that I see in the copy for sure.
Yeah, so
To your point, Robert, just to sort of build on what you said a moment ago about it, really, you're not only is it for the reader, but it's also for yourself. Absolutely, and I'm in a position right now where, you know, this program is launched, and you know there's obviously lots of work to do and more marketing to do and conversations to be had, but now I'm looking at taking that same mindset around value creation and the pricing around it and the whole marketing philosophy around it, as far as, you know, all the different steps and the plan as opposed to random events, taking that whole thing and now applying it to my one-on-one executive practice. And it's just like, you know, you're looking to the left, and here's my fantastic, lovely HEOB program called Coaching for Great Work, and now I'm turning, I'm looking to the right, and I'm looking at my one-on-one executive coaching practice and going, wow, I want to just apply all that to there. And I'm seeing all the potential and all the value and all the far less work I'm going to have to do to create that program in that area as well, too. So I'm going to transform my business one service offering at a time with HEOBs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the one thing that you get from this, is that once you understand the process and have gone through it once and have had some results with it, then it's easy to duplicate. Or easier to duplicate, shall we say, because at least you know the steps. You know, create the program, create the marketing steps, and you're off and running, and it's going to take you maybe 20% of the time that it took you for the first one. So great. Thank you very much, Jamie.
You're welcome.
That's really a good validation of how it works. Okay, the next person I'd like to talk to is Kelly Parkinson. And Kelly has a very different business. She is primarily a copywriter, but helps people with their writing, with their expression on their website, so that they attract the ideal clients through the web copy. And, you know, in the process of the program, Kelly has done more marketing, done more blogs, done more social media, done more stuff, been out there more. And in the course of this, she keeps creating, recreating, throwing that out, reconfiguring it. And, you know, in the process, she's generated a very good outcome, and she's still in the middle of the process of nailing this all down. But tell us a little bit about the process, Kelly, and what you've learned in this.
Yeah, so I started off thinking that I was a copywriter, and so trying to imagine what does a Mercedes-Benz look like for someone like me. And so I started off thinking that a high-end program would actually be a bunch of copywriting projects combined together and sold all at the same time. And what I found out is that it's actually about producing an outcome, which is helping people grow their business. And in the process, I also found out, I kind of learned a lot about what I really enjoyed doing for people and what I was really best at. And so I actually went the opposite direction and made things really small but really valuable. And so I wasn't necessarily doing more work. I was just figuring out how to add more value to what people were getting and just smaller components.
Uh-huh.
Things were building on other things. And even though they were small, they were still really high value. So instead of maybe a Mercedes-Benz, it was more like a really nice piece of jewelry. It was small, but then you could add on to it once you were finished with that piece. So
mm-hmm.
I spent the year learning what I really enjoyed that made the biggest difference for the people that I really loved working with, and practicing different ways of combining outcomes and things to do with people. And along the way, because you taught us so much about how to set up these marketing systems and structures and how to have a marketing conversation, how to have a selling conversation, I kind of feel like whatever I want to do, whatever I feel will make a difference for people, I now have the confidence to know that I can sell that. Like, I can figure out a way to package it, put up a sales page, and set up a system to start selling it. And so it gives me actually more freedom, and it lets me be more creative in structuring my business around what I really want to do, because I have the confidence of knowing that whatever it turns out to be, I can make it happen. And what's really cool
Great.
Is that I can then apply that process to my clients too, because what I'm doing for myself, I can now do for them because I'm helping them with their marketing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're a role model for them in a way, and you've had that experience. You know, something else, Kelly, that she really had a breakthrough a few weeks ago is realizing not only the kind of clients she wanted to work with, but the ones she didn't want to work with. And she ended up firing some of her clients. You want to share about that for a sec?
Yeah. So I know Samantha and Denise and Jamie mostly work with companies. And what I learned is that I really love working with small teams, individuals, consultants, and maybe smaller companies that haven't become big yet. And so because we worked together on how to structure a program, I've been able to feel confident about being able to turn down work from large companies, knowing that I have this high-end outcome-based program that I can market to people who have smaller businesses, and I can actually just focus all of my energy on the kinds of people and projects that make me really excited.
Yeah,
and so I feel like I don't need to supplement my business with these, I don't know, people call them bread and butter projects, where it's something you don't truly love to do, but it's a steady source of income, so why not? I feel like I don't have to settle for that kind of project anymore. And so
just learning what I really loved doing, and knowing that I had a marketing system in place meant that I didn't have to accept project-based work that wasn't true exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing for everybody to think about and realize. Maybe you're doing well in your business, maybe you're making good money, but are you really working with the kind of clients you love and making the kind of contribution you want? Because life is short, and if you're slogging through projects just to make money and it's not fun for you, you know, you're just going to get stressed out and you're not going to be happy. So that's something we talk about a lot, too. You know, is this program going to fit into your lifestyle, your goals, your direction, your particular purpose? And then, you know, ultimately it comes down to, yeah, I really feel I'm making a contribution in this. I'm making a difference. I'm helping people. People care. People appreciate what I'm doing. And, wow, I'm making good money at it as well. It doesn't get much better than that. So, you know, that's what everybody is working on as well. It's not just, well, let's make a zillion bucks. Let's be happy doing it as well. So good job, Kelly. I expect amazing things from you in the future, because Kelly is definitely one of the most creative people in the group, and she keeps coming up with new ideas and new packages and new ways to work with it, and it's really fun working with her. Okay, so...
George here, I made it.
Oh, George, you're there, great. Well, George, I'm going to interview Jeff next, and then I'll do you last, I think.
Great, no problem.
Okay, so Jeff, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so Jeff Pallister is a management consultant in Calgary, Canada. He had done one of my earlier programs a few years ago, and we recently discovered that we went to the same high school in Calgary, Canada, so which really kind of blew my mind. And Jeff has been really fun to work with. He's very focused. He's very organized. He really gets things done. And he sells some pretty high-end kind of consulting services to help clients save costs and reduce profits. So tell us a little bit about your experience with this whole high-end program approach that we've been working with you on.
Sure. Well, I started off and went through all of the things that I have been doing over the years and pulled out, I think, the gems, the ones that would be suitable for a high-end outcome-based approach. And what I came up with was, and I've done these before, but really never packaged them and put them together like this. But one is a two-day workshop, the Power Idea Session. And so the first thing I did was get some focus. And now when someone asks me what I do, it's not, oh, I'm a management consultant, what do you need? And I'm exaggerating a bit, but, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's a lot. What a lot of people do. I'm a coach, I'm a this, I'm a that. Yeah.
And now my card has my name on the back, but all you see is Power Idea Session, 5-step proven process, discover more than $50,000 in profit improvement and cost reduction in your business guaranteed. So when people ask me what I do, that's what I do. So the focus has been excellent in terms of getting interest, because then people want to know more. And then the second one is there's a follow-up. So after I've done that one, there's a similar program to implement the opportunities we've identified. So the first one is focused from of the service from custom one-offs to a standardized approach.
Yeah, and so essentially, here's the interesting thing about this. He does a two-day $5,000 program designed to find... How do you put it? Find $50,000
in profit improvement and cost reduction.
In profit improvement and cost reduction, in just that two-day workshop. And you know, he walks people through the steps, so they see, oh, we could save money here, 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 here. They discover it themselves, so it's real for them, and so they're motivated to take it on. So he makes good money just in this program itself, but you can also think of that as part of his marketing, in that once they've gone through that experience and they've gotten a taste of what he does and like what he does, then they're much more open to hearing how we can help them implement at a higher level, right?
That's exactly it. So within 2 days, I'm able to actually demonstrate the results and give them an experience of what's coming. And then it's real to them, whereas if you don't do that, you say, well, I want $5,000 and I'll get you a report. Well, that really doesn't inspire them to take action.
Right.
What they want is to see it, and they want the results. And also, I get paid afterwards, and it's guaranteed. So if I don't deliver, you don't pay. So it's an easy decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're impatient, too. They want the results now. So 2 days is right now.
Right. So they can leave that workshop knowing exactly what they need to do to regain that $50,000.
Yes. Yep.
Great.
The other thing is the ideal clients. And once they've gone through the workshop, then I qualify them as to whether I want to work with them or whether they want to work with me or whether we're going to have a successful project. So within 2 days, you know that.
Yeah.
And I'll only work on what I think are successful projects, and that means ideal clients. Otherwise, it's like Samantha said, you know, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Now, during that, after we've identified the opportunities, we do get into a selling conversation. And one thing we've gone through in your program is the selling conversation about strategy and so forth. And basically, I ask them, well, what is it you want to achieve? And then they guide the discussion of where they want to go, and then I show them how to get there. And at the end of that conversation, it's basically, okay, well, when do we want to start?
Yeah.
So there's very little sales required. It's more of a matter, okay, you know what we can do, so what is it exactly you want to do, and when do you want to do it?
So, Jeff, tell them the story about the radiology company and how you had a mindset shift about this that really made a big difference.
Well, I guess it's a matter of challenging assumptions about what we see as the opportunity here, and I believe that people like you to show some leadership and show them what's possible.
Yeah.
So the discussion in the strategy session was fairly broad and wide-ranging, and where we ended up with is, you know, what if we took this approach over the next 5 years and increased revenues and kept costs at the same, you know, what sort of impacts would that have? And once you start on that strategic discussion, it's a much different conversation than having the tactical, what are we going to do next month? So there's a long-term program.
Right.
And you know, they commit to that in principle, but basically it's being able to say that it's going to take 5 years and it may cost, you know, so much money. And, you know, is this where you want to go? And you know, then it has to go to, you know, their leadership and the board and that sort of thing. But when you've made the case and you have the confidence that you can do it, you've got some results, then you can ask for that kind of budget.
Yeah.
Now, you still have to earn it, and you still have to demonstrate results. But once they have the confidence that working together you can get the results, then it's doable.
What shifted in your thinking about this particular thing? Because, you know, we went through this process of looking at previous mindset. It's like, oh, I can't charge that much, and no one will pay that much. And then you looked at the other column saying, well, you know, it's worth that much, and they probably can afford it, and I can probably offer it. And remember that whole process you went through?
Yes. I think the secret is to start off small, show results, and just gain confidence and show the outcomes as you go along, and then you just expand from that. And then it's been my experience that clients will say, "Well, what else can you provide?" But you have to be able to show some leadership here and show them where the opportunities are.
Yeah. Well, this was, I think, the biggest project you'd closed, right?
Well, this year, yeah.
Yeah. So how much is it going to be over 5 years?
Oh, I can't talk about specifics about a particular client. But, you know, if you think about the different models of pricing,
yeah.
You can go, basically it doesn't matter so much what your hourly rate is, it's really the budget you have to work with.
Right.
And then you also bring in other people to assist.
Right.
So you're not doing all the work.
Yeah. But I guess the point I want to make is you sold a very big project. You got yourself out of the way and saw that, hey, I can sell a very big project here, and you did with all these offices.
Yes.
Yeah. So any other, you know, insights that you've gained in this program about this whole process?
Well, now I'm working on the marketing system because I've been on the marketing roller coaster for too long where you're busy and you stop marketing and then you're not so busy so you market like crazy and you know I've had enough of that excitement. So it's
it is exciting like a roller coaster, right?
Yeah. But that gets pretty tiring after a while, so setting up the systems is where I'm at right now. And also, I've learned a lot from the last few proposals and marketing and sales and fine-tuning this so that I can move into more, fine-tune it. I'm looking more at contingency or fixed-priced contracts rather than hourly.
Right, right.
And then also, just leveraging my time, because that's the main constraint.
Yeah. I mean, that might be the next thing for you to actually find other consultants who can implement your process, right?
That's right.
At least in the next few years. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And, Jeff has produced some pretty great results in this, so very... very happy to see that you've implemented all the stuff that you have in the program. Okay, we have one more person, the last but not least, the famous George Wong. George and I have worked together for a long time. I created a website for him or worked on his website years and years ago. And then he was in a few of my marketing action. Was it more than one marketing action group?
Yeah, I was in like the first two. Yeah.
And then he joined this one. And George, like Kelly, has more ideas per cubic inch than you can imagine of brain space. So tell us a little bit about, what you've been doing in this program and what you've learned and some of the results you've produced.
Yeah, so part of the work that I do is in coaching other coaches and consultants. And when I first came to this program, I was really looking for a structure because I felt like I was in a vacuum doing things by myself. So that was one of the attractions for me. And I knew that the focus was on a high-end outcome-based program. And as things progressed, it took interesting turns because I hit upon a topic that was very hot in terms of attendance at different workshops and seminars. It's a system on using paid introductory sessions to attract more and better clients and convert and increase your conversion rates.
Paid introductory sessions?
Paid introductory sessions, yes.
Right.
And I didn't think it was that big a deal, but then when I got the response from the people attending and having overflow and waiting lists and having to change venues, I realized that there was something there. And what in this program, what really helped me was to have conversations with you, Robert, but also to bring it to the mastermind group that's part of the program and to hear what other people were doing. So I felt more on the ground with the things as they were transpiring, because this, I remember having a conversation with you and saying, hey, you know, this is not like, I'm not planning to create a high-end outcome-based program out of this. And you said, well, that's fine, but this is like a lead-in to it. You can go different places with this paid introductory session system.
Right.
So I felt more confidence to move forward, whereas in the past by myself, I might have discounted it in my own mind and said, well, it's not worth pursuing. It's not high-end outcome-based program. It's not a longer run. But it's turned into a lot of opportunities. And I actually have a huge opportunity with a piece of software that directly ties into my paid introductory session system. And I think one of the great things about this program is that I've developed a lot of relationships and a sense of camaraderie, and we're actually collaborating. Some of us in the program are actually collaborating on programs and projects together.
Yeah.
So I'm getting really out of it what I intended, which is having that support there. And in terms of a high-end outcome-based program, I have, even before this program, have run programs of this nature. I just didn't call it an HEOB. And I have created two HEOB programs, which I can launch at any time. However, my energy really is on collaborating with other people in this program. In many ways, in one sense, we're going to collaborate on an HEOB together rather than running our individual HEOBs. And so there's just a wealth of energy and an opportunity that's come out of this program for me.
That's great. Yeah, that's an important part. And some people are even more involved in the mastermind groups. And one mastermind group is just kind of on steroids. You're really coming up with creative ideas. And, you know, some other pretty amazing things have happened out of this group. Jamie Broughton was in the process, in the middle of completing a book he had written, and in the last month he finished the book, got it published. One other of our members, Michael Margolis, came up with an idea for a book, and we just supported him and coached him in moving forward, and he just completed that book, and he's using the book, and both of them, both Jamie and Michael, are using the book as a major leverage tool for their marketing. And it's a great thing to have if you want to market high-end programs. So the Marketing Mastery is not about creating a book, but it's interesting that two people did complete a book within the course of the program. And there's all kinds of things that are going to come out of this that are completely unexpected, that who knows what will come out of it in the next year or two. So it's kind of a crucible of focus on these three major things: create the program, market the program, sell the program, and all the 10 million little things in between to fine-tune everything to make it work. And so, George, you're I can't wait to see what you ultimately come up with. You're going to come up with some really big things, and I'm really excited to see what they'll be. And maybe we'll be partnering together, too, because there's definitely a connection between your audience and my audience.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that kind of gives you an idea of some people in the program and what they're learning and what they're doing. And any other comments from any of my guests before we move to a few questions from the participants? Anything that you realized you wanted to say as other people were saying something?
Here, I'd like to just add a comment. We touched on it with George as well, too, and I don't think it's really been brought out in the comments so far, is the idea of how we actually work together as a group in order to create it. You know, so far all the shares could have been done in isolation, everyone working independently of each other, and I don't think that's been the case for the most part, is that we've been working within our mastermind group and having people support each other with ideas and vetting out that sales letter, you know, the version 22 or whatever it was, that people are reading it and giving feedback on it. And I think that's a really important part of this program that hasn't really been spoken to at this particular point.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one thing I love about doing groups versus just working with individuals is you get that synergy of everybody. And so if everyone sends me their sales letter and I'm the final word, that's kind of limited. I look at it, I give feedback, but other people in the group do as well, and sometimes come up with better ideas than I do. So, you know, really tapping into that group and letting go of, you know, it has to be my way or the highway, And the people that have really used the group and leveraged the group that way have gotten even more value. So that's what we really support is everybody pitching in and helping everybody else.
And I want to piggyback on that, Robert, just briefly. I've been able to really tap into the energy of what other people are doing to really get in gear and be inspired by other people. For instance, like Jamie and Michael published their books during this period of time, and hearing their excitement and enthusiasm, it had me realize, okay, I just need to put my own book on a timeline. I've been writing different pieces of it kind of casually.
Yep.
And when I experienced what Michael and Jamie were doing with their books, just that energy lifted me up. So now I actually have a presentation and book signing scheduled for mid-February at a local bookstore.
This coming February?
This coming February.
You got to work pretty fast, Mr. Wong.
I am. The book's not done, but it's going to be.
Okay. Yeah, you know, part of this is we have somebody in the group, Best Coaches Inc., and his motto is kind of be unreasonable. So we talk a lot about that, or that sort of is there. Is, you know, what is an unreasonable goal? A goal beyond your ordinary limits. How can you really stretch yourself and do something, you know, beyond the ordinary? Because ordinary will get you ordinary results. Extraordinary and unreasonable will get you some amazing results. And this is a support team and coaching program for that to happen. So that's great. It's great to hear all of you share about this, and makes me feel great. You know, one last little comment. I was meeting with one of the participants today just before the call with her meeting, and she gave me an idea for a new program. So she's talking about how she's looking at collaborating and doing this and that, and the light bulb just went on my head. Yes, that's how I could do this thing I've been trying to figure out forever. So in this interactive process, great ideas come. And I've already written, you know, have the first five or six steps of a action plan for that, and I'm going to flesh that out and launch that, I think, in the new year. So I'm really excited about that. So let's open it up for questions. So if you have a question about anything, about what people have said, all you have to do is press your star six button, and you can ask questions of the people on the call or ask questions of me. So who would like to go first? Just press star six.
Brian here. Can you hear me?
Brian.
Yes, from Toronto.
Hi there.
I'd like to know more about what Jamie is doing, if that's okay to know that, can I get some way to stay in touch with him offline?
Go ahead, Jamie.
It's a 1 or 2 day coach training program for managers. If you want to find out more information about it, you can go to footprintleadership.com and you go to the services section. You can find out more about it there.
Yeah, and the program
Coaching
is called
for Great Work.
You want to say the name of the program?
Sorry, the program is called Coaching for Great Work.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, who else?
Yeah, my name is Sharon, and I wanted to find out, one of the ladies, and I apologize, I can't remember her name, was talking that she met with different companies, and they were talking, they felt that the price she quoted was the $60,000.
Yeah, that was Samantha.
Okay, and then it was basically a high, but she kind of like created the notion that it's valuable enough. My question is, at what point when you, for instance, we had a suggestion for a big company, big huge company, and they essentially are interested, but they ask for more information. And at what point do you give the customer the amount? Is this when you just explain in depth with the services, or just in give them services details, and then after that, at what point do you actually tell them the price? When do you sell the price to them so it's valuable?
Robert, do you want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
After you've outlined fully what the value is for them. So by the time, I mean, the theory behind it is that by the time they hear the price, they should kind of have their reaction, oh, is that all? So when I lay out the value of what it is, it's like I draw them a picture of what the their future will be after the company is transformed. So imagine that you'll be, you know, you'll be achieving all your business goals. You know, those are the outcomes that we're aiming for. Now, the way that I work, because I work through my clients, I'm not going to guarantee them that they're going to get more clients, but I am going to guarantee them that I'm going to teach them the skills. And when you have learned these skills, you will then be enabled to get more clients. I'm going to, help you to create this program, and then you're going to have that. And we lay out what is possible. Well, we lay out where they are right now, which is, you know, in a dung heap, basically. And then by the time we create the future that they've told me is what they want for their business. And then I usually will amplify that by saying, I think you could achieve more. A lot of times they're like, I just want an end to my problems. But what I'll say is, here's what I think is really possible for you and what we could achieve. And imagine if you were not only not dumping $68,000 a year into useless marketing, what if your marketing was working for you? And what if you were known for this? And what if your brand were actually shortening the sales cycle, attracting perfect customers to you, helping you to get referrals, getting you known for things? What if you had a website that was actually a working resource for you? So I build up all of the things that are possible, and then, you know, you get a chance to say, you know, what would that be worth to you? I mean, if your business goals are just a 5% increase, well, imagine you had a 5% increase and you had, you know, the potential for this, this, and this. Well, once you've created that, by the time you say, and the fee for that is going to be $60,000, then they gasp because they expect, you know, they have some number in mind, usually, of what they expect it to be. But when they think about it, they realize, well, it's actually really worth it to us.
Because you've justified it through value.
Exactly.
And a lot of what people are talking about when they're selling a service is they sell the process too much. Well, here's all the stuff we'll do, but you leave out the most important thing. This is what it will mean to you. And she digs that out. She just doesn't tell them. She digs it out. What would it mean to you if this could happen, if this could happen, if that could happen? What would you want? And then they are creating that result for themselves in their own mind. And so it's, you know, obviously you have to be able to deliver that value.
Yeah, sure. And the other thing is that I'll often interview them about if you decide not to work with me, I mean, what do you feel like what are your active plans or your active possibilities for achieving these results otherwise? I mean, I've had people literally say to me, nothing. They don't have a plan B. And in those cases, I mean, they just automatically decide to work with me.
Yeah.
Robert, it's Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'd like to add something to that. There's two things. One is, keep it real simple, but the gut transaction level is, okay, give me a dollar. Versus, if I give you $5, will you give me $1?
Yeah.
Is that a good deal? I mean, keep it at that sort of level. But the second thing is if you're spending all of this, if you're wasting all of this money now, are you going to keep spending that money rather than make the change to save it? So the alternative is to keep wasting it.
Yeah.
Stay in the pain you're in.
And, you know, if you've developed the relationship, you know, we talk about between the marketing ball model between first and second is familiarity and relationship is very important, that you're communicating, you like them, they like you, you're on the same page, they have a degree of trust. The other piece is information, and a lot of information is exchanged about what you do and how you do it and your approach and your philosophy and your ideas. And some of that is communicated a lot before the actual sales process happens. You know, people, in my case, they've read my e-zine, they've bought some of my programs, they're familiar with how I think, they feel comfortable with me, and they've got a lot of information. And the third level is experience. That is, they've had a taste of me through teleclasses or meeting with me one-on-one or attending a workshop or something, so that relationship and trust has been built, and the value fits into that as well. And so, you know, often people think, as you know, you get together with a stranger, you pitch the right thing and they say yes, but as Samantha pointed out, it takes some time to develop that relationship and trust. But when that conversation starts to happen based on that foundation, some pretty amazing things can happen. And that's why the whole marketing process is one of education. It's one of creating visibility, credibility over time, so that they're not buying from a stranger. They're buying from a known quantity, at least to some degree. So, and then, you know, when people are asking for the price, you say, well, we'll get to the price, you know, but before I talk about the price, there's other things I have to know and other things we have to discuss. You know, some people will call you on the phone. I mean, I suppose this is for lower end services, like a writer, and say, gee, Kelly, what do you charge? And then it's just,
I'd love to tell you how much I charge, but first I need to ask you a few questions.
Yes. So I drill that into people. You know, you have to have the conversation. You have to build some relationship, or you're just selling a commodity. And high end outcome based services are not a commodity. You're really selling a relationship in which you produce transformational results, and ultimately there's a price for that. But it's just one little piece of it. And then it becomes pretty easy to do. It's like you figure it out, and, well, here's the price, and you move from there. So, we're running a little bit over time. We start a bit late, so I have time for one more question. Let's just do one more question, and then we'll wrap up.
Do you offer a consulting before you wanted to join or request to join a group?
The group? Yeah, that's how we do it. That's a good ending question. So I've been sort of doing the pre-marketing for the next mastery program that starts in April, on April 7th. And then the official launch for the program is on January 14th. And so on January 14th, I'll send an email out to everyone, and that will take them to the detailed information about the workshop. You've seen the sort of brief information. I'll give you even more information. And then there's an application form. If you'd like to apply, then you fill out the application form. Then I look through the application, and if I think you're a good candidate for it, then we set up a conversation to talk. And I talk anywhere from, you know, 20 minutes to an hour, depending. And I find out a bit more about you and your goals and where you want to go and see if the program is for you. Then we discuss the fee for the program, and you move forward or you don't. If, you know, if people are interested in this, I'm sure some people on the call are, when you get to filling out that application, don't put in monosyllabic answers. What would you like to achieve in your business? More money. What's your biggest barrier to marketing? No time. I won't accept people that answer questions like that. I want people to really tell me what they want to achieve, because what you can achieve in this program is huge, but it starts with you and your motivation and your interest. So, you know, fill out that application completely to give me a good sense of who you are, what you're about, and what you want. And then we have that conversation if appropriate. And it's a, you know, it's a super duper non-hype, non-pressure. I don't even ask you to make a decision right on the call. I say, you need to think about this, let me know in a week, in most cases, because it's, you know, it's a commitment. It's a year-long commitment. And you have to be willing to really put in the time, effort, et cetera, to make it happen for you. But, you know,
place to ask, how much does it cost?
I will tell the cost of it when at the launch. I actually haven't decided for sure. It might be a little bit more than it costs this year. I'm not absolutely sure. So I'm thinking about this and feeling it out. And then when people apply, I'll let them know what the cost is.
Thanks. Robert, okay. Can I ask one more question?
One more question.
Thank you. Are there other avenues of working with you other than this mastery program, and what are they?
Are you in the marketing club?
I was. I dropped out. I got to get back in.
Well, that's the first thing I would do, and then try to get into a mastery group. You just apply, and we try to match you up with some people. But I am working on a new plan for 2010 that will be working with some of my coaches, people like I trained Samantha to be a marketing coach, and she has all my methodology. And part of it would you'd be in the marketing club, and then you'd get some coaching and actually implementing the steps step by step. And that would be less expensive. It would probably be a six-month program. And I'm just starting to work on creating that. So keep posted to that as well. It will probably launch in February or March of 2010. We're also creating a whole bunch of other great stuff for the marketing club. We're putting it on a new platform. It's going to be more interactive. We're going to have a whole bunch of different stuff sometime at the beginning of the year. But get into the club and listen to all the programs. There's a huge, huge amount of value in the club in and of itself. And if anyone is looking at being in the mastery program and you're not in the club, I would suggest being in the club for $29 a month. You can hardly lose. Be in it a few months, check it out, and see what you get. And when you're in the mastery program, then you get a scholarship to the club for a year, because we point you to materials in the club and have you study materials in the club as well. So it's one of the main pieces that we use. So you're ahead of the game if you've used it. Do you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
How do you join the marketing club?
Just go to the website, actionplan.com, and then click on the green button that says Marketing Programs. And there's the information about the marketing club.
Okay, thanks.
It's right there. Okay. Okay, we still got questions. I'll answer them. What? Anything else?
Yes, thanks. I have checked out some relationship with Alex Mendozian doing teleseminars, and it's this seems to be more of a value process long term. But teleseminars intrigue me. Do you teach how to do teleseminars?
We don't teach how to do them so much. That really hasn't come up, although I've done a lot and I can help people with that, and I do one-on-one. But that can be part of the marketing process, and we'll help you step by step. What do you do first, second, third, et cetera, et cetera. Most of Alex Mendozian teleseminars are designed for selling products, I believe. But, you know, I know Alex quite well. In fact, I was in a mastermind group with him for a couple years. And the guy is a genius. He has great ideas. But that's a whole marketing system in itself. It's like taking one slice of one marketing activity and really making that work to generate business and sell products. So he's got a good program, but it's quite different from this. And you really can't compare them. They're very different things.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you should really think of this for selling high-end services, although some people in this program end up working on products as well, but our focus is on the services. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. Have a great holiday season, and look out for other follow-up emails. We'll also be sending you an email probably later today, tomorrow at the latest, that will give you the recording of this session so you can listen to it again if you want to. I really want to thank the guests that I had on this call, Samantha Hartley, Denise Clancy, Jamie Broughton, Kelly Parkinson, Jeff Pallister, and George Wong. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing about the HEOB programs. It was really valuable, and I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you very much, and have a great holiday season.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.